This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Arbrough, an avid and intrepid traveller. From scuba diving to jungle trekking, skydiving to glacier walking, I have travelled to all seven continents of the world. I have crossed the Arctic and Antarctic circles, stood with my feet on either side of the equator, and climbed to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. Being diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa and going blind have not stopped my travels, just changed the way in which I experience them. As I share some of my adventures with you, I hope this will encourage you to try some travels of your own. Arriving in central Vietnam on the overnight train is definitely a great way to do it. We had a really comfortable night reading and sleeping as the train trundled along on its journey all the way to Hue, the imperial capital and our next destination. We were staying in a homestay, and I must say that this is the best way of experiencing Vietnam from the point that we're able to speak to people who live in Vietnam and are able to tell us things about where we are and maybe even where we're going. We set off on our first day's wanderings around Hue, stopping with the obligatory coffee stop before we headed to the Imperial City. It was a bit later in the afternoon, but we still thought we would give it a try. What we didn't know is we would get to experience something that we could never have planned for. We were running low on cash, so I decided to use my credit card to pay for the entrance fees. My app notified me that the charge had gone through and I showed it to the ticket sellers. They were having none of this because on their system it said my transaction had failed. I was amazed at how the people shouted at me because I was standing firm, to the point that they phoned up their bank manager as he could speak some English, and he listened to my story, and all he kept saying was, "We must follow the process." Another man who worked for the Imperial City who could also speak English came along, and he was just hopelessly trying to help me, but couldn't because, again, we must follow the process. Well, this went on for a while, and eventually my app told me that they were correct. My card had been declined. But by this time, it was too late to go into the Imperial City, and to be honest, we needed a beer. We went for another walk, and we found a street of restaurants that was primarily aimed at tourists. So as we were walking along, we were looking at the menus. And to give you some idea, one British pound was worth 32,000 Vietnamese dong. And at these cafes along the tourist street, for the beer, they were charging 19,000 dong, so about 56 pence. We kept walking along the street and walked around the corner, finding a much more local-looking cafe where we decided we'd give the beer there a try. Turned out the beer there was 12,000 dong for exactly the same one. So there we were, sitting having a beer for 32 pence. Can you imagine having that in London? People don't really understand that a white cane is a symbol of blindness in Vietnam. However, the person serving the beers noticed that I was blind. Annie had gone off to the toilet, and I was sitting there waiting. They took my hand and put the bottle of beer into my hand. Wasn't that lovely? Each morning, our breakfast at our homestay started with the most delicious Vietnamese black coffee. It's made in a small filter pot called a coffee fin, spelled P-H-I-N, and it comes out good and strong, which is just the way I like it. In fact, I couldn't even bring myself to try any of the other types of coffees that Vietnam is famous for. Most notably, there are two. First of all, egg coffee, which was invented by a barman in Hanoi when two Russian soldiers apparently wanted milk with their coffee. There was no milk at the time, and so he took some egg yolks, beat them up with sugar, and put them on top of the coffee, so egg coffee was born. I'm told it is delicious, much like eating a dessert on top of a coffee. The other one they're famous for is salt coffee, and legend has it that in this imperial capital where we were, a man had gone out for a date with a lady, and on their first date they'd gone for coffee. Instead of putting sugar in his coffee, he'd put salt. He didn't want to look stupid, so he drank the coffee, making out as though he really enjoyed it. The problem was that for every other date they went on, he had to put salt in his coffee, and so salt coffee was born. I just could never bring myself to drink any of those because I really like a good strong black coffee, so I left it at that. Off we went to the Imperial City. It's a huge complex of pavilions and palaces, temples and all sorts of other imperial buildings, some renovated, some in ruins. Lots of gilt and red and gold decorations everywhere, and everything was done to make it better for the emperor of the day. Our next destination was the lantern city of Hoi An, and to get there, we took the scenic bus ride over the mountain passes and got to see more of the beautiful scenery over these mountain passes and down towards the coast and the seaside. In the 14th century, when the Japanese and Chinese traders came to Hoi An, they brought their lanterns with them. Today, every shop, cafe, restaurant and bar in the old town lights itself up with lanterns, each trying to outdo the next one to attract customers to go on their boats or go and eat in their restaurants. It's such a pretty and laid-back town to visit, and quite honestly, a must-visit for Vietnam. We spent our days wandering around, visiting the contemplative temples, going to the markets, and looking in at the tailors, both in the markets and in their own shops, as Hoi An is famous for tailors, where you can get anything from a three-piece linen suit to a swimming costume made up in next to no time. Of course, we found a coffee spot that we liked overlooking the river, and when the waiter came along, I explained to him how I like my coffee, just like they do in Vietnam, and he obliged. We became locals, and every morning, this was our starting place for our coffee. Again, we stayed in a homestay, and this one was brilliant. It was just outside of the old town, so quiet at night. One of the great legacies left behind by the French are the banh mi. They are small baguettes, and for breakfast we had them with eggs. And at the recommendation of our house mother, each night we ate on the same street at different restaurants and ate what I would say is the best vegetarian food I've eaten anywhere in the world. I sat there one night saying to Annie, so this is what tofu should taste like. It was incredible. All the vegetables are grown locally, and the people cooking in the restaurants are magicians. We were so enjoying our stay, we extended it for an extra night, so we could just chill, walk around, and sit on the little balcony we had overlooking the river. Leaving central Vietnam, we were heading off to the south, and our next adventure would take us into the Mekong Delta. Join me next time on RNIB Connect Radio for another adventure. But for now, I'll leave you to plan your own travel.